Thank you, Mr. Kanza, and certainly want to extend a welcome to those who are visiting with us today. Many of us are very familiar with the attitudes, the perspective that the world has concerning God's laws. Most throughout the world don't even think about God's laws or trying to live by them. Some who have thought about them think about them only in terms of, well, they really only apply to this ancient people called the Israelites, and they don't really apply to us today. Or what we've heard frequently is that, well, you know, as long as we have faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have to live by God's laws. But the question is, and you know the answer to this, is that kind of attitude supported by what we find in the Bible? Well, certainly we know that it is not. Let's turn to Romans 3:31, just as an affirmation of that. Romans 3:31, Paul writes concerning the law and faith here in Romans 3:31. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. The King James Version here, instead of saying certainly not, God forbid, on the contrary, we establish the law. God forbids doing away with his law. In fact, the Bible is very consistent throughout its pages in showing us that it is important, it is critical for us to keep God's law and to live by his law. And as we go through it, there are so many different places where we are given instructions on how to live by his law. Psalm 119 is one of those places where very specifically God's law is discussed in all of its different facets and different ways in which we can keep his law, in which we can observe his law. And one of the approaches that Psalm 119 takes is it speaks concerning our eyes and how our eyes relate to keeping God's laws. So today what I want to do is I want to go in through Psalm 119 and show how it helps us to focus our lives on living fully by God's law. So how does Psalm 119 relate our eyes to living by God's laws? And I guess the question might be too is, what is important about our eyes, and how does that affect how we're living by God's laws? Well, if you think about this, our eyes represent how we perceive the world. Our eyes represent what we focus on. So Psalm 19 talks about our eyes. It's talking about what is our focus? What is our perception? And how does that relate to God's law? So let's go ahead and take a look. Turn back to Psalm 119. And we'll take a first look at Psalm 119 and verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18 states, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." You see, our eyes have to be opened. And why is that? Well, in order to start to even begin to understand laws, God's laws, to begin to live by those laws, we have to have a change of perspective. And the only way that perspective is going to change is if God opens our eyes to that. And why do we have to have a change in perspective? Think about the world around us. Think about who is the ruler of this world right now, and that's Satan. And his attitudes permeate the air around us, permeate, and they're constantly at us. It is his perceptions, his attitudes towards God's law that people pick up on normally. We see evidence of that. Again, scripture is what you're familiar with, but here in Romans chapter 8 and verses 7 and 8. And what is that perception? What is that attitude towards God's law that Satan is broadcasting, that people pick up on? Here we have in Romans 8, verses 7 through 8, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's the attitude that's around us. That's the attitude that is pressing in against us constantly. That's the perception that we've had of God's law until the point God starts to open our eyes. Because it is only God who can open our eyes to the wondrous things that He has promised in His Word. To what He has shown us lies ahead for us. And God has given us His Word, and He's made certain that He has sent His servants with an understanding that they can help us to understand His Word better. As evidence of that, back here in Acts 26, the situation here is Paul is standing before the governor explaining, you know, what's happened, why he's here, why the Jews are so upset with him. So he's telling what had happened. Acts 6, 26, verses 15 through 18. Paul states, "So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" So did you see that? One of the reasons Paul was called was he was to go out and to open their eyes, to turn them away from Satan's attitudes and to turn them towards God. We have to have our eyes open to that. If we're to start to understand God's law, if we're to live by God's law, we have to have our eyes opened and our perceptions changed. You don't need to turn there, but Paul later on writes in Ephesians, in chapter 1, in verses 17 and 18, Paul writes, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." So even in these two sections, we begin to see, we begin to understand some of those wondrous things that are in God's law, that we can receive forgiveness of sins, and that we have an inheritance from God. One that He has set aside and reserved for us, something that we can look forward to. We begin to see all the wondrous things that God has promised in His Word. But in order to see that, in order to understand that, like is stated back here in Psalm 119, verse 18, we have to come to God and say, "Open my eyes. I can't do it on my own." None of us, on our own, would not, in fact, could not, open our own eyes to the wondrous promises, to the wondrous things that are here in God's law. We just wouldn't do it. So what happens here is we open, have our eyes opened by God, as we work with Him, as He begins to open our eyes and changes our perspective, we can start to see those wondrous things, and we can start to change our focus away from the natural physical world, from the desires that we have for ourselves, and onto the spiritual, and onto the glory of God. But we have to open our eyes, and we can't do it ourselves. God does that for us. But it's not enough to just have our eyes opened, is it? I mean, we can have our eyes open, we can understand some of these things, but what are we going to do about it? So the next thing we see here in Psalm 119 is that in addition to having our eyes opened, we have to make sure they're opened and focused on the right thing. Psalm 119, and verse 37. Here in Psalm 119, verse 37, we see another aspect of our eyes, what we need to do with our eyes in terms of how we start to live more fully by God's laws. Psalm 119, verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. So where is our focus? If you stop to think about it, the thing which we focus on, you know, that's what our intention is. We're trying to reach out. We're trying to grab that. We're trying to understand it more clearly, aren't we? That's our focus. That's what we're going to, that's how we're going to direct our actions and everything else, is to meet with that focus. The psalmist here is saying, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. So left to ourselves, again, where would our focus be? It would be on ourselves. What can I do to help out myself? Because of the attitudes that are around us, the attitudes that are constantly pressing against us, it is a self-centered attitude that we're having to fight. And we see that when you look back here at 1 John and chapter 2, verse 16. In 1 John chapter 2, 16, we understand where our original focus comes from. Because everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. So until God opens our eyes and changes our focus is on what is not from God. It's on this world. And so when God opens our eyes and helps us to remove the focus away from these things that are worthless, things that are temporary, physical, that pertain only to this world and not to eternal life, if we lose that focus, where do we go? What happens? Consider the example of Achan. Now, you remember Achan. When the Israelites were coming into the land of Canaan, and they were to take the city of Jericho and destroy it, God gave them specific instructions, didn't he? But as the battle ensued, and Achan was coming in doing what he was supposed to do, as he told Joshua later in Joshua 7, he said, when I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. What happened to Achan? What happened to his focus? He was given a specific instruction from God as to what he was supposed to do. But in the midst of doing that, his focus changed. It moved away from what God said to do, and it moved to something that he wanted for himself. And what was the end result of that? What did he gain by following his own desires? His focus, his pursuit of following his own desires, led to him losing his life and losing the opportunity for that life in the inheritance which God had promised. That is the result of when he lost his focus. So to gain the right focus, to learn to live the right way, we have to ask God, help me turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. Because face it, every one of us, regardless of our age, regardless of what wisdom we might think we have, regardless of our own experience, on our own, left to ourselves, we will not focus on God's ways. We will not focus on keeping his laws within our lives. So we have to turn to God. We have to ask him to help us to change that focus, to make sure that our focus is in the right direction. We ask him, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. And why do we have to keep going back to him? Think about it. Satan has so many ways, so many devices that he can use and that he knows about us specifically that maybe we don't even know about ourselves. He will employ whatever he can to get us to lose that focus, to get us to start thinking more about, oh, the troubles I'm having here, the trials I'm having there, how am I going to, you know, feed my family, how am I, whatever. Relationships that we have with each other. All those things Satan can use to take our focus away from God. And what happens is the more we focus away from God, the more accustomed we become to focusing on the things of this world. And the more we start, the more accustomed we come to those things, the more we start accepting those things as the major part of our life, instead of having God as the focus for our life and having his law as what drives our lives. Back in Matthew 18 and verse 9, Matthew 18 verse 9, Jesus stated, "And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire." Now, obviously, Jesus isn't standing here and advocating that we dismember ourselves, that we physically harm ourselves. But what is he telling us? He's talking about our eyes. He's talking about our perceptions. And he's talking about what we focus on. And he's telling us that if there's something that is not in line with God's ways, not in line with living by his laws, we need to remove that from our lives. And it's not always an easy thing, is it? Sometimes we discover that those things which are distracting us, those things which are persistently taking our focus off of living by God's ways, are sometimes things that are very dear to us. Things that are very near to us and we don't really want to lose. So it can be painful to have to make that decision. To have to choose between something close to us, something dear to us, like our eye would be, or following God's ways. He didn't say it's going to be easy. But no matter what it is, whether it's a thing, whether it's a relationship, or whatever it might be, which do we cling to? Which do we follow? Because there is nothing in this world that can be so valuable that it's worth more than the opportunity that God has given for us to live as eternal beings, as members of his family, in his inheritance. We do not want to be like Achan, to value something more highly than God's instructions, that we cast aside God's ways only to lose our life and lose the opportunity for our inheritance that God has promised for us. We need to keep our focus. We need to keep our eyes from looking at worthless things. Because when we keep that focus on God, when we keep that focus on his ways, his laws, his statutes, his commandments, as we're focusing on those, that brings us to the next step, which we find in Psalm 119 and verse 15. In Psalm 119, verse 15, we read, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways." Now, if this translation might ask, well, wait a minute, what does that have to do with my eyes and focusing and having my eyes opened? Well, in the Hebrew, the word we see here, contemplate, from the Hebrew, it actually means to look into, to peer intently at, to hold in high regard, to respect. So I will meditate on your precepts, and I will look into and respect and hold in high regard your ways. So as we look into those ways, we look into it more deeply. And what is interesting about this whole process is that as we look into God's ways more deeply, He will in turn open our eyes even further so that we can begin to understand even more wondrous things that are buried and so deeply ingrained in His Word. Things that we, you know, when we first encounter, we don't even realize. But as we look into it more deeply, as we contemplate it more, we discover these treasures that are in His Word and in His law. While we're here in Psalm 119, go ahead and take a look at verse 117. Psalm 119, verse 117. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your law, your statutes continually. God holds us up. He's opened our eyes. He's changed our focus. He holds us up. We're safe, and we can observe His ways, His commandments, continually as we peer into them more deeply, as we hold them in high regard, and as we respect His ways. So we've had our eyes opened. We're focusing on the right things. We're learning more. But there is one more aspect of this. And that is in Psalm 119 and verses 5 and 6. Psalm 119, verse 5 and 6. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commands. As we look into God's commandments, as we examine His ways, they give us direction. They help us understand the path that we are to take for our own lives. The Hebrew word here for to keep your statutes means to keep them, to guard them, to observe, and to give heed to God's statutes. So as we observe them, we don't just look at them and say, oh yes, that sounds like a good idea. No, we observe them, we listen to them, we give heed to them so that we can apply them in our own lives and so that they can direct our ways. Because as we look more deeply into God's commandments, as we examine His ways, the statutes that He's given us, the judgments, we realize that there really is no other way to live. God is our Creator. He knows what is right. And He's given us the direction. He's helping us to understand that direction. And as we come to understand it, we realize, yeah, there really is no other way to live. This is it. Psalm 25, verses 2 through 5. We actually sang this already today, so you get to see the words here. Psalm 25, verses 2 to 5. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day long. We look to God to show us where we need to walk and to show us where we need to go. Now, some of you are familiar that in some of the teen camps and the pre-teen camps, one of the activities they do occasionally is as a team building exercise, they have an obstacle course. So the camper is placed at the beginning of the obstacle course, has to find his way through so he can successfully reach the end. Now, it sounds simple enough, except there's one catch. The camper's blindfolded. So, the camper can't see the path, can't see the obstacles, and doesn't even know where the goal is. So how is he supposed to be able to manage this obstacle course blindfolded. Well, as I said, it's a team-building exercise. That camper has a partner. The partner's not blindfolded. The partner will instruct the camper, okay, go this way, turn to your right, turn to your left, stop, turn. And it's because the camper listens to the instructions that he's able to avoid the obstacles. He's able to cross that path and reach the destination. Aren't we in a similar situation? Haven't we been blindfolded by Satan and his ways? Think about it. If it weren't for the fact that God is here telling us how we need to live, telling us what the goal is, we wouldn't know. At best, we would stumble around, and maybe we might perceive the path in some small ways. But we wouldn't know what it is, would we? And we certainly wouldn't know the destination that is in store for us. It's only as we trust God and heed his instructions that we are able to navigate our way through the obstacle course. So we have to listen, we have to look, and we have to follow his directions. Proverbs 4:24-27. In keeping here with Psalms 25, verses 2 to 5, Proverbs 4:24-27. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Psalm 119 is talking to us about our eyes and how we need to use those eyes to change our perspective onto God's ways, to look where we're walking, to comprehend the path that God's commandments and laws have set before us. Psalm 119 also talks about, in verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There again, as we see, we need to see where our feet are walking. And we need to see the path that we're on. It brings to mind the story of a man who's out driving. It's nighttime, and it's really, really foggy. It's one of those kind of nights where it's so foggy that he could barely see the road ahead of him. He could just make it out in his headlights. And he's trying to drive home, and it's a strain. He's having trouble because he's strained to watch the road and try to see where the turns are. But he comes upon a set of taillights in front of him. Ah, what a relief. I'll just follow the person here in front of me. So he's driving along, he's following the taillights to make a few turns here, a few turns there. And all of a sudden, the guy in front of him just stops. And he didn't have the opportunity to stop in time, so he hits his brakes, but he hits the guy in front of him. Well, now he's upset. Because here he is following this guy, and all of a sudden he stops. And why is he stopping all of a sudden? So he gets out of his car. The other guy gets out of his car, and he says to the first driver, he says, why'd you stop? The guy says to him, where did you think you were going? I stopped because I'm in my garage. You see the danger there? The danger is that we might end up finding ourselves following someone else instead of following the road that has been illuminated. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We need that lamp to on our feet because we need to see where we are stepping and where we are walking now. But we also need to understand where that road is leading. Because if we don't follow the road, if we don't follow the path that God is showing us, and instead we end up following someone else who seems like they're going the same way, we may end up finding ourselves where we didn't intend to be and dealing with consequences that we did not expect to have. God's word, God's commandments light that path for us, and that is what we need to follow. Proverbs 19 shows us that God opens our eyes to wondrous promises that he's made in his word, promises that he provides for us. He opens our eyes and changes our perspective to help us turn aside from the distractions of this world. And in doing so, we need to draw close and we need to ask for help that we can peer more deeply into his law so that we can gain a better understanding of it, so that we can live by it more fully. God directs our paths. He leads our ways, and we need to do that which he tells us to do. Because if we abide by his directions, we will arrive safely at the destination that he has set before us. Psalm 119 is a treasure trove that celebrates God's law and shows us that as we change our perceptions and we change our focus and put those on God, that they will help us to live by his laws more fully.